And welcome into a new episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, cattle and calves on feed for the slaughter market in the U.S. for feedlots with capacity of 1,000 or more head totaled 11.8 million head on March 1, 2024, according to the latest cattle on feed report. That inventory was 1% above March 1st of last year, according to USDA's report on Friday. Placements in feedlots during February totaled 1.89 million head. That was 10% above 2023. Placements were the highest for February since the series began in 1996, and that number was above the high end of the pre-report expectations. Marketings of fed cattle during February totaled 1.79 million head. That was 3% above 2023 levels and below the low end of pre-report estimates. Other disappearance on the latest on-feed report showed 56,000 head during February, 3% below last year. This past week, Democratic Senator from Wisconsin Tammy Baldwin and Republican Senator from Indiana Mike Braun introduced new legislation designed to break down barriers to farming and agricultural land ownership. The goal would be to help more Americans pursue farming careers. The Bipartisan Farm Transition Act of 2024 would, for the first time, create a commission on farm transitions to study the issues impacting the transition of agricultural operations to the next generation of farmers and ranchers and make recommendations to address those barriers. Baldwin says, quote, "Farmland is one of our most valuable assets, contributing to local economies, safeguarding our national food security, and putting us on the map with world-class products. Many people interested in a career in agriculture are getting locked out and having to compete with Wall Street investment firms buying up farmland," end quote. As of 2021, American Farmland Trust says seniors 65 and older owned more than 40% of the agricultural land in the U.S. Well, agricultural loan demand increased in 2023, and ag lending by U.S. farm banks grew 6.7% to $110 billion. The American Bankers Association's annual Farm Bank Performance Report credits elevated production costs, commodity price volatility, and a return to pre-COVID levels of direct government payments. The ABA says farm banks continued to enjoy solid performances in 2023, with robust loan growth and historically low delinquency rates. According to the ABA in a news release, they say, quote, "Moving forward, the agricultural sector will continue to face challenges due to monetary policy actions targeting persistent inflation in the U.S. and reduced federal support," end quote. Now, despite the challenges, farm banks maintain strong asset quality and consistent growth in high quality capital and remain well positioned to continue serving the needs of their customers and communities. The report also showed that farm banks were a major source of credit for small farmers. Last year, 98.1% of farm banks were profitable. Well, the USDA's Economic Research Service reported that the number of U.S. wheat farms has dropped substantially over time. Ryan Hanrahan, FarmDoc social media manager and farm policy news editor at the University of Illinois, took a look at the numbers in the March Wheat Outlook report.
They put together a little feature article, as they do in these outlooks every once in a while, and this month's was covering a 40% decline in the number of wheat farms in the United States since 2002. This data comes from the Census of Agriculture, of course, that came out recently and shows that decline over the last 20 years. The larger wheat farms, specifically 3,000 to 5,000 acre and larger category, saw some increases over those 20 years, while a lot of those smaller, maybe more family-type farms are just those 100 to 500 acre farms are really where those decreases were concentrated.
Losing that many wheat farms over time put a dent in U.S. wheat production.
The decline that they point back to about 2008-2009, when there was a 2.5 billion bushel production in those years, and since the 2017 census now, wheat production hasn't topped 2 billion bushels, and they really point to the decline in planted acreage there and harvested acreage, particularly that 2008-9 year again had 56 million acres, they say, and down to a low of 35.5 million acres harvested here in 2022.
And Hanrahan says wheat has become a rotational crop that gets mixed in with corn and soybeans.
It really just kind of talks about how it's a crop that's really become mixed more in with both corn and soybeans, and that's kind of led to a decline in wheat production, just given that corn and soybeans typically find themselves to be a bit more profitable. They list some data in here that all three of the crops, wheat, corn, and soybeans, have increased in their value of production from 2017 to the 2022 Census of Ag. The increases for corn and soybeans are quite more significant than what farmers have seen for wheat.
And the drop in production came in many of the different classes of wheat.
There's certainly some different percentages in there. Durham wheat saw the largest wheat production, they say, with about a 60% decline from the 2002 data that they talk about to the 2022 data. But the others certainly have declines as well. Spring wheat, it says, is about a 43% reduction from the 2002 census there as well.
And once again, that is Ryan Hanrahan with FarmDoc at the University of Illinois. Well, Farm Rescue recently added Wisconsin to the list of states where it volunteers to help farmers in need. Tim Sullivan, Executive Director of Farm Rescue, talks about the organization and what it does to aid farmers.
Farm Rescue is a volunteer organization that covers 9 states now with the addition of Wisconsin. So we started in 2005 with a handful of volunteers and some leased equipment in central North Dakota. And that first year we helped 10 farmers. This last June, we had the honor of assisting our 1,000th family since our beginning.
Sullivan talks about the ways Farm Rescue assists farmers in a time of crisis.
What we do in a nutshell is we are there to support farm and ranch families going through a crisis of either natural disaster of some kind where there's a storm or whatever. But mainly what we do is if there's an injury or an illness in the family, that's where we come in and support that family through planting assistance, harvesting, putting up hay, livestock feeding, and commodity hauling. We're there to protect their livelihood during that crisis.
Those big jobs don't get done without a lot of volunteer help.
The work is done by the volunteer base, and we have over 650 volunteers in our registry on a normal year, which would be anywhere from 80 to 120 families served. We're probably utilizing 200 to 225 volunteers in a year. They come in groups, they come in single volunteers. We put them with a group, and they're either planting or haying or harvesting.
And you can learn more online. Just go to farmrescue.org. And the newest use for American soy is a bio-based oil for chainsaws. Through the Soy Checkoff Research and Development Investment, U.S. soybean farmers are partnering with DeWalt and Dynamic Green Products to announce a groundbreaking sustainable solution. DeWalt's soy-based bar and chain biodegradable oil is now available at Home Depot stores nationwide and on various online platforms. Steve Reinhardt, USB Chair at Ohio Soybean Farmers, says, quote, "It's exciting to see the Checkoff investment in this bar and chain oil pay dividends as it becomes widely available to more farmers and the professionals who care for parks, forests, and more." He adds, "This oil is yet another example of U.S. soy delivering performance and sustainability benefits," end quote. Fifth-generation farmer Brett Davis of Ohio was eager to be an early adopter of the product, saying, quote, "It's pretty simple. If you grow it, then you should use it. It works great in my battery-powered chainsaw," end quote. That's going to do it for American Ag Today. Produced by the American Ag Radio Network, I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.